FM.
I've been very open with South Australia about my love for turkeys in the past on this show. I told you how much I loved getting turkeys. Another milestone in my life was achieved on the weekend, and I've held back from telling you two about it until now.
Oh, yeah?
I got myself some guinea fowl.
Some guinea fowl?
Yeah.
I don't know what
are
guinea
they,
fowl
a
is.
Guinea fowl, also known as mallee fowl? Are they the same?
No.
What does a guinea fowl look like?
It's sort of like a chicken with a bald head, and it's got like speckled feathers. Sure. Native to Africa.
Is it white with speckled feathers?
No, you can get pearl, but I don't want to confuse the listeners.
Gosh.
What you're thinking about is mallee fowl.
I don't want to confuse
them. Is this Saturday morning gardening?
I think that ship has sailed, by the way.
The last thing I want to do is lose listeners while I'm talking about guinea fowl.
I know. I mean, because if we've got guinea fowl purists out there, they'd be horrified.
I've always wanted them since I was a little kid. I've loved guinea fowl. When I went over to Africa, I saw guinea fowl in the wild, and it made my love for them grow even more. They make this really cool noise.
Okay. I mean, that of course, is your characterisation. Would you describe that as a really cool noise?
It sounds like a duck.
Yeah. So, anyway, on the weekend, the time was right for me where I purchased some guinea fowl off Gumtree.
And else?
Can we just revisit that sentence?
Yeah.
The time was right for me where I purchased some guinea fowl off Gumtree.
There's no person in South Australia that I have bought something off Gumtree from. I've got to pick a pig up from Alfred, by the way. It's another job I've got to do, bought off Gumtree. But anyway, I made the guinea fowl this massive enclosure. So it's like a chicken shed, and then it's got this huge run so they can run free range. The fence is like about 2.5 metres high around the sides. Keep the foxes out because you've got to be careful with the guinea fowl.
Hey, of course.
Anyway, so I made the purchase on Gumtree. I ripped out to Monado, which is where the guinea fowl were. Mm. Apparently, guinea fowls love living so close to the lions. Imagine they would have been pretty happy to get out of there. So I've gone out there and I've got like a cat carrying box, which unzip. Like, what you might take your cat to the vet in.
Mm. Yeah,
so,
sure.
But it's quite large. So I get there, I unzip it, and I put the guinea fowl in. I drive back to my farm.
How many?
I got seven.
Seven?
Well, here's the thing. It was six for $100 if you took the lot, and they threw in an extra one.
Oh, they wow. Did. I see one.
You know what I do?
Gumtree just keeps paying for itself, doesn't it?
And they were so kind to me. They run a horse sanctuary out there. I said, I'll give you $200 for them because you're so lovely. So anyway, I get my guinea fowl and I drive by myself in the South Aussie with Cozzy car back to my farm. I drive up the track. I get in the chook house and I'm about to let my guinea fowl go. And it was one of those moments in your life where you go, I have waited 35 years for this moment. I finally have my own guinea fowl.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit sad because normally I'm at the farm with other people. There's always someone there.
Mm.
But I was by myself. Mm. And I looked around and I went, oh, normally I have Matilda there, my daughter.
Yeah,
she's always there with me.
Moment.
She would have loved letting the guinea fowl go. Yeah. And my dad, who passed away 3 years ago, he loved guinea fowl. So I was thinking as I put the cage down, I thought, geez, Dad would love to be here as well. Mm. What a beautiful, special moment. And I squatted down on my knee and I unzipped the cage and I pulled the first guinea fowl out.
Oh, no.
And I held it in my hands and I went, wow, welcome to the farm, buddy. So I put the guinea fowl down and as I put it down, it just flew away. It took about four steps and it flew. And my fence is near 3 metres high. And
hang
it
on.
Flew. And it flew out, and it flew, and it landed on the shed roof.
Hang on, you bought home something that has wings and can fly, and you put it in a yard that doesn't have a roof.
I didn't think it would fly.
Is that
out? And then,
what?
So now, I go, So now I'm staring at the roof of the chook house, and all I can hear is this noise. This guinea fowl's looking at me, and I'm going, how am I going to get you down? So then I go over to the side of the shed and sort of go to sort of jump up to go, hey, go ahead, jump back in the yard. And
good visual.
It just took off like a seagull and flew away from the chook house and over the hill and gone.
And it's gone. So, okay, so is this a missing guinea fowl call out? 13 10 60, if you've seen causes.
Yeah, if you seriously do, anywhere around the Woodside Harrogate area, sing out.
So what happened to the other six?
Well, I hope it comes back.
Are they homing birds? Could it be in Monado?
No, I don't know. It's just gone. But the last thing I expected was for it to fly away.
But the other six are still there?
I put the other six locked up in a bird aviary until I could work out what to do.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Generally, sports interviews are very dull and very boring, and there's not much in them for the average punter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to play in just a moment what is my favourite response ever. But you're probably going to ask the question, well, what was your number
yes,
one?
Absolutely.
Previously, what's it taking over from? Well, I'm going to play that for you. This is Joe. This is my previous number one. This is Joe Marler, a rugby union player in the UK. His team had a loss, and he was asked about that team's loss and how they're going to come back from it. And this was his response.
We've got another week to get back on the horse. You know, and take that horse to the water, and you can ask that horse. You can say, "Hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink, or do you want to swim?" Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. And that horse at the moment wants to go out on Saturday. He wants to clippity clop all the way to the stoop. And he wants to say hello to those fans. And he goes, "I'm sorry about the result last week, but I'm going to give a better performance here at home against Bath." He's a slightly Irish horse. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
That's not real. Is that real?
That's real. Yeah, 100%.
I wonder how they went that year.
So that's Joe Marler, who is hilarious. He's a very, very funny man. But taking over from him, this is from last weekend. This is Mark Molesley. The manager of Aldershot Football Club in the UK. They had a loss, and then he was asked about that loss in a post-match press conference. And he had, standing around, were a few of his team as well. It was in the change rooms.
FA Trophy tie at home against Bromley this weekend. What's your thoughts ahead of the game?
If a tree falls and no one is there to hear it fall, does it make a noise? So, does a penguin get cold? What way does your bath water go, clockwise or anti-clockwise, when you take the plug out? You know, these are questions which are going to be asked of us. These are questions we've got to have the answers to. You know, we're always looking for solutions, and we've got to come up with solve the equation sometimes. But, you know, Sam's had a lovely haircut. It's started to grow out now. Coops is here, working silently away. Robbie's over there. It's the first time he's been quiet today. Terry's brought a briefcase in. You know, he's got four Japanese talking dogs in there. But, you know, this is what we work with, and we'll continue to work hard. That's
right. Now, let's just revisit him talking about his team of assistant coaches. Let's have a listen to what he says about the first lot.
But, you know, Sam's had a lovely haircut. It's started to grow out now. Coops is here, working silently away. Robbie's over there. It's the first time he's been quiet today.
But the absolute peak is when he talks about this bloke.
Terry's brought a briefcase in, you know. He's got four Japanese talking dogs in there. this is what we work with, and we'll continue to work hard.
Sounds like a scene from The Office.
It sounds like David Brent.
Yeah.
It really does. So Ken Hinckley and Matthew Nix, if you're listening, we want a bit more of that this season. Okay?
Oh,
just once.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
A little sore today.
You are.
A little sore mouth. From the dentist yesterday.
Did you have any work done?
Four fillings.
Four fillings? You claim you've got this vegan, vegetarian, healthy lifestyle.
You had four. Do you floss?
Well, not enough, clearly.
Right.
When's the last time you went to the dentist?
Well, I've left it a little bit of time.
Mate, I'll tell you the best thing, and I'm not one to give out health advice, obviously, right? The best thing you can do is go to the dentist every 6 months.
Well, I don't want to ever go again. Mm. I mean.
Hang on, how long since you'd been?
Oh, like a couple of years.
A couple of years.
Rebecca Morse,
but honestly,
come on.
I had like a drill vibrating in my skull for an hour, and I feel like it's still ringing.
Mm. Yeah, right. How many injections?
Oh, multiple. And then you walk around like half of your face has collapsed for like the rest of the day. Anyway, but I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
Like last week I had an endoscopy.
You did.
Now I'm at the dentist. Like every day I've got a new ailment.
Oh, now it's all over.
I'm on the way down.
Check your super. Are you okay? You ready for retirement?
Maybe James should boost my life insurance.
Oh, no.
Can I just say something?
But there were two. There were two, and I was watching her, so I could tell which one. I'm like, uh-oh, she's going for the bigger one.
Yeah. And yes, sometimes they try to bring it up from, like, sort of up over your stomach so you can't see it as much. I know you're coming, mate. And I know that's happening. But don't you reckon in 2022, they can invent something that doesn't sound like that? Like, everyone hates that sound. Can't you make it less like that?
Don't.
Can't you take, give me headphones, not injections. Hey, and also, is it the job of the assistant who was there. They suck the. They've got the sucker.
What a crap job!
Sucking saliva all day. Oh. The worst is when you have the checkup, and she goes, "Oh." When she's talking to the assistant, she's like, A1.
It's like when they're checking your teeth. You know, they got the little mirror and they're going through the back of your teeth. They go, D2's a 12.
That's what I mean.
I mean it without putting it through on the healthcare.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Something I've been getting into lately is polls. No, like a Facebook poll. 800 South Australians voted via a Facebook poll I did.
You really hit the real hard-hitting topics, don't you?
I've got a smart speaker here in my hot little hand. You can listen to us anywhere you like in the world. We're going to give it away on 131060. Get your phone ready, but don't call now because you need to answer this question. I want you to tell me, South Australia, is what I did last night bad parenting?
Yes.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that it is, but I want you guys to decide. I'm gonna ask you guys.
Okay.
Last night I was editing, so I was working quite late. So I was in at Channel 7 and I was in the building by myself. It was just me and the security guard down the front.
You're editing by yourself. Don't you have an editor?
Yeah, I do, but I do this like first cut.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
I'll show you one day. Yeah. You can come with me if you like.
Know what it's like to work in television.
So it's just that, you know, I mean, he could do the job. I just love looking at myself on TV.
Sure, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, it's a really boring job. So I'm there chopping up. And it was just after midnight and the phone rang and it frightened the buggery out of me because I'd been in silence for the last 2.5 hours. And so when the phone rang, I flipped it over and I'm like, who is it? And it was my daughter, Matilda, who's just turned 13.
Still in the car in the car park?
I was thinking that. Last time I saw her, I was going to the Pokies. So I've answered the phone. I go, hello. And she goes, Daddy, where are you? I said, I'm at work. What are you doing? She goes, I'm in bed, but Mum's still up and down a little bit. I'm wondering, can you get me food? Like, it's a cry for help. I thought there was a thief or something really bad happened.
And she's asked for food.
She asked for food.
I've seen your pantry. Yeah. She doesn't need to ask for food. My kids need to ask for food. They've got Rice Krispies.
I said, what's going on? Honey, it's midnight. What? She goes, yeah, I asked Mum for extra mashed potato at dinner and she said no. And now I'm starving. I'm starving. Like, it's a real cry for help. So I did what any dad would do. I said, well, Daddy's nearly finished. I'm about 20 minutes away. Are you going to sleep now? She goes, no, I'll wait up for you. And I said, well, what did you want? She said, Maccas.
Oh, no. You didn't. What's it? Just to confirm again, what's the time?
Well, it's 12:04 when the phone rang.
Gosh, no wonder your eyes are bloodshot.
Yeah. So then
I'm driving home
and I went through McDonald's and Hindley Street. And I've still got her on the phone. So Matilda and I talked for...
Through your special lane.
I got my own little spot. And anyway, so then I've got her order of McDonald's and then she says, don't worry about the Coke, Daddy. I don't need that. Like a good girl.
Healthy choices.
Yes.
I get home and they say that money can't buy your love, but a double cheeseburger and a medium chips bought me a lot of love when I walked into her room. Mm. And she said to me, when you come into my room, Dad, put the McDonald's next to my pillow because we don't want Mummy to hear the bag opening. Oh. I said, good thinking. And I said, well, how are you going to stop the noise? And she goes, when you put it down, I'm going to put my weighted blanket over it.
Oh, the weighted blanket.
She's going to smell it the minute she walks in this morning.
Under the weighted blanket. So the question I want to ask, and then we had this beautiful little moment where she goes, I love you so much, Daddy.
She does.
You acted it. It was a McDonald's ad.
Yeah. 131060. I know it's, well, is it bad parenting?
Yes.
Or is it one of those moments when I hopped into bed, I thought, she'll always remember that night Daddy bought her Maccas at midnight on a bloody school night.
She'll recount that to a therapist in about 15 years'
All right.
time.
Adam in Williston, what do you reckon?
I reckon that it's pretty good parenting as long as it doesn't happen all the time. Maccas is a sometimes food.
Yeah, not in the Costello house, mate.
You sound like my GP, Adam.
Let's go to Tony in Semaphore. Is it good parenting or bad parenting?
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I think it's good parenting as long as it's not all the time. She'll remember that. And as long as she hasn't got Daddy wrapped around her little finger and going, tomorrow night I need pizza, and the next night this and that.
I think your crystal ball's working beautifully, Tony.
This is the text message that I woke up to. I've obviously fallen asleep. She stayed up a bit later. She said, "Thank you so, so, so much. I love you. That was the bomb. Thanks."
The bomb.
Josie in Gamaraka, good parenting or bad parenting?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's funny, and I think what's the big deal in the scheme of things?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Josie, we wouldn't be talking about it on air unless I knew my wife was in a 6 a.m. Pilates session.
Amy in Evanston Gardens, the final word for you. Midnight Macca's run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a good idea. I usually do it myself after my hospital shift.
Okay. Amy, how often is acceptable with the Midnight Macca's run for your in-bed daughter?
Oh, absolutely. It's a sometimes food. It's not all the time, but they do try to get me on all the time. They're like, "Mum, can you just bring me home something?" I'm like, "No." But then every now and then I'll be like, "Yeah, but just don't tell your siblings because one of them's usually awake and the others are asleep." And then I did it with my 6-year-old once. And she went home and she was like, "Daddy, Mummy got me Macca's." And I was "Oh, Caitlin."
Because, Amy, that's the risk, isn't it? I'm worried this morning she'll squeal to Charlie Rose going, "I had Macca's last night."
Yep. You didn't make it a part of the rules, so, yep, she's going to.
Charlie Rose is going to say, "I'm going to tell Mum unless you buy it for me at midnight tonight."
Suddenly I'm like Mel Gibson in Ransom. Was Mel Gibson in Ransom?
Yeah, he was in Ransom, but I don't understand the connection.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bec, Cozzie and Limo for breakfast.
Bec, since I first seriously met you 3 years ago, you rapidly became my favourite newsreader of all time. Mm-hmm. That's right, overtaking Kevin Kreese, Keith Martin. Oh. He was more weather, but you're still my favourite over him. And we've had a relationship built on honesty, and I know Limo's a massive fan of your work behind the desk here at SAFM.
Absolutely.
I feel like there's a massive bunch 100%. Coming my way.
I just feel that we need to be honest with each other, and I... I've been seeing another newsreader.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on, Bec's reading the news here.
Yeah, I know.
Enough for you.
On the weekend, I caught up with Jane Doyle.
Oh no.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Come on.
She's great. She's a quality newsreader. I'm okay with that.
What was the nature of your catch up with Jane Doyle?
It was a court appearance, actually. No.
Okay.
You were the face in the identikit behind her when she was reading the news.
Officer, it was the fat one in the middle. Absolutely. I remember that thumb up. Anyway, so I was filming on Eyre Peninsula on Sunday, and early in the week I knew that Jane Doyle was over there. Now I've moved from Channel 9 over to Channel 7.
You follow her around a little.
Follow her around. Every day she gets to work, my desk is just a little bit closer to hers.
Right, yes.
Hi, Jane.
Right. Is she going to build a wall around her desk at some point?
At first she thought I was a security guard. It was so cute. Anyway, so... I knew that she was over in Coffin Bay, and the head honcho at Channel 7 said, "Why don't you ring Jane and see if she wants to be on your show and film her at Coffin Bay?"
I said,
"I can't ring Jane Doyle. It's like the Queen. I don't even know she has a phone."
Of course.
I just imagine people do that for her. Yes. He goes, "No worries, ring Jane. Mate, I'll give you her number." Next thing I get a text, Jane Doyle, "I got a number." Yeah. Right. "I got a number."
Right. No, and did you catch up at the...
I didn't call her straight away.
Wait until Wednesday.
Of course. Good tactic.
Anyway, so I rang her. Now, she's on holidays in Coffin Bay, and this is all serious. I said to her, "Look, I'm really sorry. I'm coming to Coffin Bay on Sunday. Can I film you as part of a promotion of...
Through your window.
And now, remembering this lady is on holidays with her family, and it's a Sunday I'm proposing to film. So there's a lot of reasons why she could have said no. And she said to me, "I'd be absolutely delighted." And I said, "I'm really sorry, it's a Sunday and everything." She goes, No, it's all part of the gig. I'd love to promote Eyre Peninsula." And I thought, you've been in the media for 4 decades and you're still kind enough to give someone like me the opportunity to catch up with you, which I thought was absolutely beautiful. So I went over there and filmed her, and we talked about her passion for Coffin Bay. And she'd been going there for 30 years. It's amazing. And then I flew home. Yeah, I was on a bit of cloud nine. That's okay. I filmed her taking her 2 dogs for a walk down the beach.
Yeah, great.
And then they went frolicking in the water. Do you know what they did afterwards?
What?
They jumped straight in our car and they're all wet all over the seats. Oh. Didn't matter. They're her dogs.
Oh, it's fine.
And then I was just on Instagram yesterday and just saw this.
You made her grow. Yeah. She's posted a picture of Cozzy sitting next to Cozzy doing a sort of classic thumbs up pointing.
Yeah.
And there's Jane Doyle with one of her dogs.
Oh, I didn't even know this. I haven't even looked at it.
Hang on. Hang on. Where's the other dog?
That's a good point.
Aww.
So anyway, that's just a friendship that's in development.
Sure.
But, all right.
But
so will it be Jane, Cozzy, and Limo?
Why are you still here? I have to replace the meeting after I've gone to the loo or something.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
It's TV Tuesday. Yep. You heard it.
Yeah, we decided we needed a new game for Limo to win at.
Oh, come on. Who knows what's going to happen here? TV tunes, not a strong point of mine.
I feel sad for the old games. Why did we have to get rid of Battle of the Sexes?
Oh, yeah. What a great game that was. It was fun, though. It really was.
Beat the bomb.
Yeah.
I used to love when James Brayshaw was sick or away, and I used to got to play Battle of the Sexes with Amanda Blair. Cool. That was a highlight at 20 years old.
Yeah, good fun.
All right. Well, this one's pretty simple. It's called TV Tunes. Bleeps plays a tune and we guess what show it was from.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are theme tunes.
Theme tunes, of course, because you all love your TV. This is spanning from the 70s right through to now.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, names as buzzers?
Names as buzzers, please. All right, good luck. Here is your first TV tune.
Cozzy. Yes, Blue Heelers.
Cozzy. Blue Heelers.
Hey! What is it?
Blue Heelers.
I was
Blue Heelers.
Not even close.
Ding, 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 ding.
Mm. You look a bit like John Wood.
And that's the Cruel Sea.
That was just cruel.
I can name the band.
Mm. All right, here is your next one. Good luck. Well done, Cos.
What is
Limo.
Limo.
Frasier.
Frasier.
Oh.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Cheers?
No,
Ben. Oh, great. I get to hear a bit more of the tune, please.
You can play. I'll play it again for you.
Is that it?
Oh, all right. Mad about you, baby, so help me
understand what we do. Is it Mad About You?
It's Mad About You.
I'll take it. Mad About You.
Helen Hunt and...
I don't know that one.
I loved
Paul Reiser.
Paul Reiser, yeah, it was great.
All right, I'll give that to Limo. Sure, why not?
What? Yeah, it was my turn.
Here we go. All right, here's your next one.
Cozzy.
Yes, Cozzy.
Oh.
Alf!
Hey, Brian! I can't believe I got that one right!
I tell you what!
I kill me!
I'm going to give that as a win today for Cozzy.
That's
a win for Cozzy. Best of three.
You've lobbed that right in his wheelhouse, though, let's be honest.
All right, one more. Here, just one more for fun here.
Oh, Beck.
Yes,
X-Files.
Beck. No, not X-Files.
Oh. Hang on, let's hear some more.
All right, okay. Later year.
Is it the music Beck plays when she walks into the
2004
house?
It started. It was all blowing our minds. What was really happening?
Lost.
Lost.
Oh.
Yes. Right. But Cozzy, great win.
I mean, you couldn't have got out on the high of me winning. You had to drag it down with a crappy ending with the Lost.
I mean, Blue Heelers and Alf, though. You're working to his strength. I think they're the only two TV shows he's watched.
I'm out. I'll never play again.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
How do you make a spider really, really deadly? Anyone? You put it in a car and then the person driving sees it while they're driving 100 kilometres an hour. It's a great fear of mine to find a spider in the car. It's never happened.
Oh, okay.
But if it has happened to you, we'd love to hear from you on 131060.
Mm-hmm.
When did you find a spider in a car? What were you doing? Were you driving? How did you react to it at the time? Because I would absolutely panic. There's no doubt about
that. That's why I always take the visor down and open that little mirror and check it frequently. It's not to look at myself. It's just to make sure there's not a spider behind them before I start the car.
In my wife.
Beck's the only person I know that on her steering wheel actually has a mirror.
It shouldn't be allowed, to be honest. They won't let you have televisions in cars. Cos, how would you react? Has it happened to you?
I'm okay with spiders, to be honest. I'd be more than comfortable With a spider. It doesn't bother me. My wife hates them, but yeah, no hassles.
And they say the advice, so my wife sent me an article yesterday, which was advice for if you find a spider in your car. I don't know why she decided to send that to me. But there's a picture of a giant huntsman inside a car in the picture. And that made me, I wasn't even in the car, but it made me want to drive off the road.
If I had a huntsman now, would you let me put it on your arm?
No. No. Absolutely not. And they say, the tip is stay calm. That's always the advice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stay calm and stop slowly.
Okay, don't slam on the brakes.
Okay, yeah, don't slam on the brakes. Good luck with that with a huntsman in the car.
What if it was crawling up your leg?
Yes, exactly.
You
brake. In fact, I wouldn't even brake. I'd just jump out the window. And I'd roll down the freeway.
Who comes up with that advice? Are there meetings about that? All right, guys, we've got to put something out about spiders in cars. What are we going to come up with? Slow down.
Slow down and don't panic.
Well, come on.
That's the advice right there. Susie in Paraka, what happened?
Oh, good morning, guys. Welcome back. Love the show.
Thank you, Susie.
Okay, so I was with my daughter. We went to go to the shops and it was a bit warm. So I said, let's just wind down our windows. So we wound down our windows and we're driving along. Next minute, these big legs came underneath the window part. And I'm sitting there trying to stay calm. My daughter's screaming. Yeah. And next minute, I'm looking and it's starting to come under the window. So I've driven on the other side of the road and I've gone, oh, my God, I'm coming to oncoming traffic. So I quickly pulled over and went down a side street.
Yep.
And then I pulled my window up and I squashed the middle of the body.
Yuck.
And then I got out the car and the legs and all that were still moving.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, you don't mess around in Paraka.
I would have. And Susie, after that, did you set the car on fire?
Nearly. I was doing a happy dance outside the car and a lady pulled over and she goes, are you okay, love? And I go, no, there's a spider in my car.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, all right, thank you, Susie.
Anne-Marie and Ramalodge, what happened to you?
I was driving to work at 4:30 in the morning. I had a little Hyundai Elantra and I spotted out of the corner of my eye this huge huntsman crawling up my window. I jumped out of my car and my car kept rolling down the road.
Oh, really?
Anne-Marie.
And did the huntsman start driving the car, Anne-Marie?
I have no idea, but I did chase my car back down the road. By the time I caught up to it, the huntsman was gone. So I don't know where it went.
I bet he was. He was like, I'll never catch this Uber ever again. Wow, that's horrendous. That's... Peter from Moana, what about you, mate? What happened?
Yeah, I was. I just pulled into an underground car park at Flinders Hospital. And just as I pulled up, I looked to my left and there was this big spider on the window. And I thought, is that inside or outside? And had a bit closer look. I'm like, oh, shit, that's inside.
Yeah.
And then, I kept calm and I had a Hungry Jack's wrapper. I started throwing it at it from outside the car. And as I was doing that, there was this woman and she sort of put her head down and walked a bit quicker. I said, I'm not crazy. There's a huntsman. And she goes, oh, okay, I'll go and get my brolly. So she got her brolly and helped me flick it out. And, yeah,
even the huntsman spiders are ramping at Flinders.
Matt in Bellevue Heights, what happened, mate?
Hey, morning, guys. So the wife and I were out for a bit of a meal. She was 8 months pregnant, so we thought we'd squeeze one in before the baby's come along. No. And she's jumped in the car driving home. Oh, I'm in the passenger seat.
Because she's the designated driver, Matt.
She's not drinking.
She's 8 months pregnant, mate. Any danger, you could have driven her home.
And a great, massive, big huntsman just caught up under the dash over her hand. So we're doing probably about 10 k's an hour in the car park at that point. She just flicked the door open and bolted about 100 metres out, left me sitting in the car, and the car's still moving towards the trees and whatever. I'm like, shit, sorry. So luckily I was with it enough just to pull the handbrake on and throw it in the park.
Jeez.
She was still gone. She was
So you
left me for dead about 100 metres in the car.
And Matt, you have caught up with your wife since?
Yeah, last week. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you reckon there's somewhere in the world right now, like somewhere in a pokey corner of the world, where there's a radio show run by spiders?
No, right. Yeah,
and it's a group of huntsmen running a phone topic.
So I got that 13, pregnant 10, woman 60. Real good.
Have you ever found a human in your car? Give us a call. We got tickets to the new fly restaurant that's opened up on Hutt Street.
Okay. Let's
and you're just get your legs waxed. Okay.
All right, you are.
Find it on the World Wide Web.
Oh my God!
I'm in now.
Right.
Come on,
all of you, get out.
We're about to have a doctor on.
We're about to get the official word on this, and we have Dr. Owen Seaman, collection manager for Arachnida. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And Mirapoda at the Queensland Museum.
Oh gosh!
Yes, it's a very official name. Hello, Dr. Owen.
Good morning, everyone.
Dr. Seaman, how big's your business card with a title like that, mate?
Oh, yeah, it's miles long. It's like a toilet paper roll.
Right. Now, tell her, you've been listening to the calls here. Tell us about spiders in cars. What's the most common spider you'll find in a car?
It's definitely huntsmen. Unless you've got a car sitting around in a paddock, you'll get redbacks and things like that as well. But huntsmen love cars. They're sort of like what they live in and out in the bush. If you go looking for them, which you know people like myself do, they live under bark of trees. So they like to be dry and sheltered, and they like to sort of have something above them as well. So car visors and the window cavities are the perfect places for them.
Right, and where, and so they like to get, they're like a five-star spider, aren't they? Mm. They're like a nice, comfy hangout.
They do. They need to feel safe during the day, and they come out at night, and they want some water close by. Aww. And the ability to catch some prey. So if you find them in your house, they love your kitchen and the bathroom, because they can come out of their hidey hole, and they get a drink from the water condensation from, say, boiling kettles or having a shower. And then they'll go out and hunt.
Oh. Yeah. They are harmless, though. They can't bite, can they?
Well, they can bite, but they very rarely use their venom. So if you do the manly thing and you go, oh, I'm going to get this huntsman out of my house, and you pick up a great big huntsman, most of the time that's going to work. You'll walk outside and you'll release the huntsman and everyone will think you're great. But if it bites you, it does hurt, and you'll squeal like a little girl and everyone will laugh at you.
Oh, all right. It will, or a little boy, says Beck.
Yeah. Just clarifying some really glaring gender stereotypes.
Very high pitch.
So, Dr. Owen, if you're in the car, you're driving down the freeway at 100 k's an hour, you see a huntsman crawling across the dash, what's your advice?
Well, it's really obvious advice, isn't it? You don't panic. You have to somehow keep a lid on it, because there's no other option but to stay calm and pull over, because everything else involves careering into traffic and you know the wrong side of the road and all of that kind of thing. So for that moment, you've got to put a lid on it and pull over. Okay. One other little trick that I've heard sometimes works is once you've pulled over, and you've had your meltdown, you open up the car, all the windows and the back and the boot and everything, and you put your air on full blast, and that might encourage the spider to get out. Huntsmen, they're pretty good with their vision, but they hate wind currents. They want to be safe, and sometimes they'll run out of the car when you do that.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Good advice. Thank you very much. That's Dr. Owen Seaman, their collection manager. Beautiful. I'm just going to say spiders at the Queensland Museum.
The spider guy.
Well done. Nice one. Thanks. Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.